I do a horror character. Lynn was just out of hurt and being sad all the time. She was the person who said what I felt like I couldn't.
Hello, my name is Harry Hawk, and this is Talking About Everything, and we're about to meet my friend Sal.
Hi, everyone. My name's Sal Varelli. I am a rising artist. I'm becoming a drag queen. Stage name, Valinda Vile. Villain and Linda conjoint, play on words. I do costume design, so I like to sew. I like using different things, and I like to be unconventional with it because I like to make something out of nothing.
So you'll take older fabrics?
My first line I made was my senior year of high school. I had a fashion class I took, and that's how I got into the sewing. The theme of our fashion show was virtues and sins, and of course, me being the way I am, dark-sided, I focused more on the sins, and I based my whole collection off a bondage theme, and hoops of all my bondage were shower curtain rings.
So that's clever. I love found objects in art and all kinds of expressions because we have to interact with the world around us.
That's what I like about art. People think you have to have the best of the fabrics, the best of the brushes, the best of the paints, the best of everything. But no, you just need to know how to use what you got. Because there's a lot of people in this industry and that want to do this, and they don't have a lot of it because fabrics and paints and stuff, they're expensive. So when you're on a budget, you got to just make the best of what you got, and you can turn anything to anything. And it just depends on how you are and who you are as a person and how your creativity can just boost it.
Well, I can certainly attest. I've seen online pictures of your work, the clothing that you've made, and it's definitely creative and interesting. You know, it's kind of visually stunning. Obviously, you create your own clothes for your drag performances.
Some of them, not all of them. I do buy pieces. So a lot of the pieces that I get, my style in drag, I do a horror character. I get compared a lot to drag queens such as Sharon Needles, Alaska 5000, people like them who are very unconventional and very dark-sided. As far as looks and as far as their humoristic ways. And
you combine humor and horror, right?
I definitely do, especially where I do my drag. A haunted theme park or a haunted park with, it's called Scarefest Scream Park. It's in Lenox, Michigan, and it's kind of where I started drag almost. And I went in there with open mind and thinking, I need a new performing group of freaks that I need to get in contact with. And when I got there, I knew that I was going to be already part of this amazing family and bunch of freaks because they're just the type of people that are very real. Some of the scariest people are the nicest ones, really. They turn out to be the nicest ones. So it really goes back to, as corny as it sounds, it's what matters on the inside. It's what counts is on the inside, because I tell you, some of the people that I've met there are some of the sweetest people, some of the most genuine, real, honest people I've ever come across in my life.
I think a friend, someone can do nearly anything as long as they can be honest about it. I think it's when we start to lie to ourselves, then it becomes so easy to lie to others. I want to ask you, so this performing group at this haunted horror hap comedy, were they looking for a drag performer, or is everybody doing some kind of gender performance, or is that just kind of the role that you worked out for yourself?
I went in there with this character that I created years ago. Her original name was Linda Sasha. My theatrics go back, and I started off as an actor, stage actor, and just being an actor, and I have an alter ego. Linda Sasha came from my dark past that I had growing up with different tasks. Linda was just a character that I created out of just hurt and just being sad all the time, and she was like an angry character, and she was just this visual look of her.
Was Linda Sasha sort of your angry angel?
She was the person who said what I felt like I couldn't. She was just my angry conscience, the devil on the shoulder who just pushed me to be more aggressive, push the limit, tell me what to do, tell me you need to be more assertive, stop letting people walk all over you. She was just this character that I just decided to bring out to Scarefest, and I came in there when I did my audition for them, and I talked about her as a person, and I showed them pictures of different drawings I've drawn of her and who I see myself as her when I portray her. and they loved it. And soon enough, when the season had started in the fall, I started doing Linda there. And then it just became more of a drag character I turned it into, because I wanted more of a humoristic side to it, and the character itself was just a very dark character, and I wanted to turn it into something more than just dark. I wanted to add some humoristic notes to it. So I guess the character itself is dark humor, which I love, because dark humor is the best humor to me. Taking a topic that's so messed up and turning it to so funny that you would never think.
It's a way to kind of get some of the pain out and sugarcoat it, to get it out and sugarcoat it a little bit to the audience too, which I think it makes it easier to give out and easier to receive that energy. Now, the horror show that you do in the fall, was it run a month or a month and a half? How long is it?
We go there early in the summer and we start preparing. Open, though, for the customers, we open late August, early September through early November. So it's like a good 2.5 months. People get to go out there and on the weekends. And we have 4 different attractions, that being a hayride, a haunted house, a haunted walk through maze in a haunted forest, along with a beer tent with a heated beer tent with food and alcohol. So people love that. And a live band. And we have a bonfire pit and a projection screen with movies on all the time, and paintball and different vendors. So in a hookah tent, there's just so much going on there.
I love outdoor venues. I started a few years ago a thing that ran for 4 or 5 years in New York, which was a temporary beach amenity on the river here in Manhattan. Essentially, we put down sand and created a fake beach with tents and all similar things to what you're describing. Is there anybody else who's doing some kind of gender-inspired performance?
I do. I have my drag sister there who, it's so funny, I met her the same time she came. The same time that I came, she started with me last year as well. And before that, they sort of mocked drag. But as far as drag queens, me and him, I should say her, because we are talking drag. we are the 2 first drag queens. And we've come at the same time, not knowing each other, not knowing one another. But we've become the greatest of friends. She's so sweet. So shout out to my sister, Rose. Love you.
Well, Rose, hopefully someday we'll get to meet. It's a horror kind of experience. People don't know what to expect, and they're expecting all kinds of high stimulation, right? Things jumping out and popping out and all of that. Kind of sounds like rural Michigan is not necessarily where I'd expect to see a drag performance. I mean, we know what happens all over the world. People are performing, doing gender performance, drag performance, and it's happening in small towns and large towns. But have you had some positive reaction from people whom we might not expect to react positively? Or what is it like on the performance side and with that audience?
Like you said, it's a small town with so many big entertainers at this park. And I think it's very unexpected. When people come there, I think they might be unexpected because there's so many different people there, so many different people, so many stories. And I call them my own personal freak family because I feel like that place is a place people really understand to be who they are.
That's the other performers you're talking about.
Yeah,
well, what about the audience? I mean, how do they react to, do they know that they're looking at a drag performer? Or,
you know, some don't, which is funny. Even some coworkers don't, which is funny. I had some of my fellow coworkers tell me at the end of the season, because they had only ever seen me in drag, that they thought I was a woman the whole time. And then they found out I was an...
Congrats. That's a great performance, right?
I was like, no, I'm a man. But customers too. Some think I'm a woman, but then you'll get those egotistical men, because you got to be that man role, and drag queens, gay people, they're not okay, and da 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 da. They will make their slight remarks, but I think I have a quick, witty mind, and I will repel something right back in their face to embarrass them in front of their whole friends, and that's just the type of person I am. So I'm not going to let anyone ever try to talk down on me.
Well, it seems like a safe place for you to perform. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like most of the crowd is open to the larger performance within which you're having a role. And what about after the season? Are you performing elsewhere? Is there anywhere else in Michigan or nearby? I know you were in Canada recently. Are you performing around? Or
I auditioned for my Motor City Pride in Detroit, Michigan as a drag entertainer. I didn't get in, sadly. I really wanted to, and I don't know if it's necessarily because I'm not well known or maybe because it's a family venue and I think my character is more of a, I would say, a rated R character because I push a lot of limits and I don't want to alter my character to fit a boundary that doesn't fit my art anyway. So I understood and I just took it as you can't have everything you want. You can't get every audition you audition for. So to me, I take that back as positive feedback because it's something that I need to work on as far as an entertainer and as a person, because you can never be the perfect person you want.
We're all work in progress on some level. Would you develop a second character, or you just want to put all your energy into the character that you've created?
I think I have the one character that I do. It's just the drag character, but then I pull out many different characters through the drag character.
I don't want to keep you on the phone too long here, but I'd love to know a little bit more about your fashion, the lines that you're creating, and how you sell. Feel free to plug where people can find some of your stuff if you do have an online store or anything like that.
I have an Instagram account for my clothing I do make. It's Black Rainbow Custom Clothing and Costumes. It's weird. I'll just have random spurts where I'll just do a bunch of things. I'll sew a bunch of things. And then for a few months, I'll be out because I'm focusing on other things, because I do a lot when it comes to art. I do theater, so I act and sing, I do the drag, I sew. So I try to like equally give each part a chance over the months. For a few months, I'll take on sewing, then I'll say, okay, I'll give that a break and I'll do a show in theater, and then I'll give that a break in time for Scarefest.
Tell me about the theater. Is it, what kind of theater are you doing and where?
Well, I do community theater around here.
Great.
So last official show I did was back in May, so it's been a while. And I did Thoroughly Modern Millie in the Birmingham Village Players. And I can't believe it's almost been a year. I mean, I was going to do a show in the summer, but conflicts happened, so I wasn't able to do it. I do want to get back into the theater, but it's an issue when you're a community theater actor, a young one, especially in Michigan. I mean, I don't know if it's like that in other smaller states, but Michigan itself, I find that the community theaters, the shows they choose, sometimes they appeal more towards an older audience. And being a young actor, it's hard to audition for certain roles when the majority of the characters or the shows that are listed are for older actors, because there's not really, I don't want to say a scene for young actors or actresses over here, but I feel like there might not be as big of one as there are for the older generation of actors and actresses.
It's a common thing at this point that theater in general in America is an aging kind of thing. We're not seeing 20-somethings run off to the theater. It's an interesting thing. I do go to the theater maybe 7 to 10 times a year. It's one of those few experiences where you're largely without your phone, right? Because you're supposed to turn it off.
I don't want to say that it's a dying art. It's not a dying art, but I feel like it's just not as alive as it once was. It saddens me because theater will always hold such a special place in my heart, because I started theater maybe 7 years ago now. It really formed me into the person who I became, because getting to go on that stage, no matter how big, no matter how small, whether it's 20 people or 2,000 people, you're getting to play a different person and act in a different time with a different voice. You're just getting to be someone totally different and getting to portray them. And then when you bow and you see how well you've done, and no feeling is better than the feeling of victory after, you know, putting on an amazing show. And I know some people have stage fright and they get nervous when they get on stage, but I think there's, you know, those two types of people. You either get on stage and you get immensely scared and you freeze up and you shake, or you get that adrenaline and you want to run with it and you go crazy. And I'm that second one. When I get on stage, It's just this fire in me, and I always tell people you will never see me smile harder than when I am on stage, because when I am on stage, I am never happier and at my happiest when I am on the stage.
On the theater, when you're on the stage, it's the ultimate make-believe. And I have been on stage once or twice, once with my friend Mike Daisy, who's a monologuist, and I was just cooking hamburgers. But it was a very interesting experience to add emotion to the cooking of the hamburger by piling on more hamburgers. I could bring up the sizzle or bring down the sizzle. But for yourself, I mean, there's so many younger folks. I mean, there's older folks as well, but so many young folks and even young kids these days becoming YouTubers.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've thought about in terms of where young kids are acting today and where that audience is looking for people?
I think it is. And I think it goes back to that modern technology times where everything is broadcasted online and social media, and you can see what everyone's doing, where they're at, what they're eating, when they're doing it, how they're feeling, because everyone now has converted to social media, or almost everyone at least. And YouTube especially, I think that's where a lot of people turn to now. You see a lot of singers or comedians because they're trying to get in the industry. And I think it is a great outlet. And I have definitely thought about it personally.
I was going to say, there's certainly people who are out there vlogging doing very stream of consciousness stuff. But it sounds like that there's folks who do very conceptual stuff from like a Christian Novelli, or I have a friend of mine, Cinelab, who will do a lot of vlogging, but then he'll do like a little mini movie or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's, Ben J. Pierce, Kid POV, does a lot of little skits and things. I mean, I think that's where you could have a potential to do something that's a little bit compelling, and being able to work with an audience and kind of hold them is sort of the key to success on YouTube.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely have been thinking about it, especially because I do sing. I've been thinking about getting in drag characters and doing different covers of artists as who they are and covering their songs. I've definitely thought about it. I'm just still working on other things at the moment. I'm actually I'm auditioning for RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9 this year. And
oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, it is great. The submission ends May 1st, so I've been so focused on that. I will say, up until now, it's been age 21 and up, and I've been waiting for something like this. And I have a friend who told me this year they changed the rules, and it's 18 and up now. So right when I found that out, I'm like, I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to give it my all, whether I get on or don't. Which, being a newer drag artist, I mean, I know there have been newer ones on the show, such as Shangela. I know she was only 3 months or 4 months in, and she got on Drag Race, but I still feel like I have so much room to grow as a drag artist, so I don't think it's necessarily my time, but I definitely want to do it still to get my character out there for RuPaul to see, because he does hand watch each video, he has said. So even if I don't get on this season, he will have seen that I auditioned. And then next year when I audition again, if I don't get in this year, he will see that I'm still trying and see my improvement, because I think I have a lot of room to grow as far as drag, because it's still so new to me.
I think that's great. I mean, just the sense of your craft. We're talking about multiple crafts here. The craft of acting, the craft of gender performance, just your humor as a humorist, and then wherever we stick horror as a genre. So there's a lot that you can bring to it, and I think visually be very appealing for television and for YouTube. I did want to comment. So when you sing on YouTube, if you're covering stuff, then it's harder to monetize, because the monetization often goes to the folks who own the copyrights.
Right.
But if you're doing an original skit or something, then it's easier to monetize because there's no third-party rights involved. Just something to think about.
Definitely.
I just want to, Sal, encourage you to keep on following the dream, the vision, to apply for things like RuPaul's Drag Race, to continue to audition, to continue to do the clothing line, and just continue to explore, as you said, all your different creative outlets. If there comes a time that one of them gets your attention, and you need to listen to that too, and follow the bliss of that. But I think it's just fantastic to hear somebody who's out there learning about themselves, learning about art, and exploring and bringing that all together. You've really lit my own passion for hearing about that and thinking about that.
Well, thank you. And I definitely have such a heart for performing and my craft and my art, and it's like my child. It's definitely very personal, and I might push things that are very humoristic or very scary looking, but it all comes from a place of a past experience or something that I had experienced, whether it was negative or positive, because I definitely try to pull through my emotion. I don't just try to pull something random. I definitely want to give who I truly am as an entertainer, and I really want to bring that to the table so I can really show the world what Sal Varelli and what Valinda Vile have to offer, because it's a lot and it's not going to be stopped till I get what I want. So
awesome. Well, I want you to come back and talk to me maybe after one of your auditions, or obviously if you have some success, we can come back and highlight that. I'm going to bring this conversation to an end, but I wanted to ask you if there's any question or anything that I haven't asked you or anything you wanted to expand on, go ahead and do that now.
I definitely just wanted to say, this leaked onto the Scarefest whole thing I didn't get to add on. I definitely just wanted to say that Scarefest is a home. If you are in Michigan and you're listening to this, Lenox, Michigan, and you feel outcasted and you feel like you don't have a place, I was that person. And there's many people like over there who are like that. And come join us, because we're always looking for new freaks. We're always looking for new entertainers and new people to join our big freak family, because we are a very warm, accepting, and loving group. And we have so much to offer, and we definitely love when people are new and come into the family.
All right. And then why don't you tell everybody where to find you online, websites, social media account. Go ahead and give it all out.
Facebook, I do have a drag page. And it's my stage name, Valinda Vile. So that's V-I-L-L-I-N-D-A, Vile, V-I-L-E. And Instagram, I have my sewing page. That's Black Rainbow Custom Clothing and Costumes, where you can direct message me for designs, or you can check out some of my designs I've made for customers, friends, family, different people, myself. Yeah, so you can just check out all my different things.
Sal, I'm going to ask you to email me some of those links as well, so have them, and I'll put them all in the notes for this. Wow, I appreciate so much on such a busy day you taking time to talk to me. This is Harry Hawk, and you have been listening to Talking About Everything. Please subscribe on YouTube or Stitcher Radio. Please send any feedback to me on Twitter at HHAWK, or just get in touch through social media. This is Harry Hawk, hoping everybody has a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for having me, Harry.
Oh, my pleasure.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk@gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement, between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.